This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Is that what you would have done? You just hear that rejoin there of different takes from our different NFL experts and Key just. What'd you say, Captain Obvious?
Yeah, really.
Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn with Key. And can you let me just talk Jets here for a minute? I know that they're not going to be.
It's 9 o'clock. Go ahead.
I know they're not going to be a team that everybody's going to be talking about. They're not going to be a team expected to make the playoffs to do much.
You know there's other teams in the NFL other than the Jets.
And I also know that this is coming as well. As apparently, you know, I just want to mention a New York team once, and it's too much New York. But I don't care. I'm doing it right now because I need you to help me.
Dude, who's going to say it's too much New York?
People, I guess. But it doesn't matter. I need you to help me. So Zach Wilson was the pick at number 2. He had the throw of the pro day season, as you remember.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, that's what somebody said.
I understand.
And there's a lot of expectations about what he can become. But what he is right now
is a pick machine.
Yeah, it's not quite there. But I want you to listen to what Robert Saleh, the new Jets head coach, who I have a great respect for, who said despite his struggles early on here in training camp, he's not worried about Zach Wilson.
The reality is, like, the result is, especially in training camp, is a much bigger deal for you guys than it is us. It really is. This, like, his process is exactly where we want it to be. His study habits are exactly where we want it to be. His demeanor out in the practice field is exactly where we want it to be. The result is, I mean, that's a pacifier to make people happy. But he's going in the direction that he needs to go. He's got the right mindset. He's doing everything that he needs to do. And when it clicks, it clicks.
Yeah.
The results are a pacifier?
Yeah, because you guys are looking for results so you can pacify yourselves and feel good.
It's not a pacifier. The results tell me whether or not this guy knows what he's doing or can play. I'm sorry. This is the same franchise that had Christian Hackenberg, okay?
I can't get over it. But the same franchise that Christian Hackenberg has nothing to do with the organization now because it's not the same people evaluating the talent.
This sounds like a very slow process.
You got to let it mature, man. You and your New York little buddies with your green Jets jerseys on, y'all want everything right now, instant microwave. He's not ready to do that yet, and neither are the Jets. So the Jets have punted on the season.
It's
the reality of it.
The Jets have punted on the season while they're asking me to pay, you know.
It doesn't matter. They're PSLs not going to tell you. They're not going to tell you.
So are tickets free to the game?
They're going to be competitive.
So the tickets are free.
They're going to be
competitive. Just come to MetLife for free because we're not trying to win this year.
This is not New York radio. You don't have to scream. It's not New York radio.
It was kind of frustrating.
They are basically punting on the season, okay, getting guys ready for the future. That's what they're doing. They want guys to be ready tomorrow, not today. And that's okay. If that's their mindset, if that's where they want to be, you want them to be playoff contenders with Buffalo and New England right now. Their roster's not made up that way.
No.
You got to let this young kid mature. Develop.
You took him second overall in a draft. Well, you're telling me Justin Fields should start for the Bears, who could be a playoff team. But I'm hearing that Trey Lance could play for the 49ers.
Is there a Khalil Mack on this defense? Or the Jets?
C.J. Mosley's pretty good.
Is there a Khalil Mack on the defense? It's a simple question, yes or no?
Well, no, of course not.
Okay, so they're not ready yet. Chicago's ready. Chicago's right there. The Jets are not. Because of that, Allen, you want him to do all the right things like Robert Saleh says. He's processing. He's
processing study habits and demeanor.
Yes. That's what
great.
I want to see.
But I've also seen video of him missing a receiver by about, I don't know, maybe 15 feet.
I've also seen Peyton Manning throw 50 interceptions as a rookie and turn into a Hall of Famer 100 years later. It doesn't matter right now. Stop getting all excited about damn training camp.
Hey, it was 28 interceptions, and why are you yelling?
Because you're making me yell by sitting up there getting mad about an interception or two in a spring game, and one of the interceptions was a tip pass. So now you're going to tell me, well, he needs to get it over that guy's head. That's exactly what you're going to tell me.
No, what I want to know is that this was the right pick because it was the second pick in the draft.
You don't know if it's the right pick just yet. You've got to
Have some evidence it's the right pick, though, Key.
And I think
some evidence? It's the second pick in the draft.
You don't know. You don't know if Trevor Lawrence is the right pick in number one overall. You don't know.
What
you looking like that for?
You don't know.
Oh, so you knew.
Have a pretty good idea.
Let me go back and pass. So you knew Joey Harrington was the right pick?
Oh, I never knew that.
Did they know Carr was the right pick in Houston? Again. Did they know Blake Bortles was the right pick in Jacksonville?
And all those
and
are
Blaine Gabbert and all. I could go on and on and on. You don't know. The coaches have got to develop him. They've got to put him around good people to make it work.
How do veterans on this team feel about this? Where you're like, well, we're punting on the season because we got to develop this kid. Here's my thing. I wouldn't feel so bad about it if you had
already know what they got, man.
If you had a veteran guy that I'm like, well, he could start for now, then I'm all right.
Well, their
approach, can still be competitive while he's learning. If he's not ready to start, then why is he the starter?
But they may feel they're competitive. They're fielding a competitive team with the roster makeup that they have. Joe Douglas may feel that way. You don't have to have a veteran quarterback. Okay. Why I would like the veteran quarterback in the room is to kind of teach him how to be a pro quarterback. Doesn't mean that the veteran quarterback has to play in front of him, but the veteran quarterback can certainly communicate
with
him.
But it's nice insurance to have.
And they got Johnson, I guess, so maybe they look at that as the communicator.
Come on.
Maybe they look at that as the communicator.
I'd rather have a guy like Mark Brunell was that guy. All right, I'd rather have somebody like that. Vinny Testaverde has played that role.
But Vinny Testaverde can play, though, at the time.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you had guys like that along the way that could have provided that. But I just feel like if he's not ready to – like, I get it. The processing, study habits, you know, demeanor, all that stuff is nice. But by week one against Carolina – Sam Darnold, like, if you're not ready to be a starter, then why should he start?
No one says he's not ready to be a starter. You're reading too deep into it. That's not what he said. He said that
he said the results are a pacifier.
The results in training camp in week one. Like, stop worrying about that stuff.
I can't.
As a damn fan,
I cannot stop worrying about the Jets and a draft pick for another quarterback that still doesn't look like he's ready to go.
They're not going to the playoffs this year. Just let it sink in. Enjoy them developing the team and building a culture. Enjoy that. This is not the team that I was on when Bill Parcells rolls into town and we instantly go to the AFC Championship. This is not that team. This is not one of those. This is a team that has some youth. And they're going to get better over time if the coaching staff is any damn good.
All right. So you're telling me I have to be patient.
You got to be patient
in
this situation.
You realize you're talking to a New Yorker and a Jets
fan. No, but that's your problem, though. You're the one that was born and raised here, not me.
I mean,
change your mindset.
To be patient when
change your mindset.
A decade now since even just being in a conference championship game.
Change your mindset. That's why I got to get you out west to be able to just calm down and relax. Listen to the waves. Smell the fresh air.
Sounds really good right now. Well, let's tell you a little bit about remember, we told you about Mort's report about the Colts giving extensions to their hierarchy. So Chris Ballard, GM, Frank Reich as well, they get contract extensions. They are in the fold now for, what is it, the next, I think, five years. Well, more good news, by the way, and maybe even some big news for the Colts. Remember I was telling you how they're trying to figure out if Jacob Eason could be the guy to hold just to hold down the quarterback position while Carson Wentz is recovering from injury. Sam Ehlinger as well, the rookie that they took in the sixth round, I believe. Like, he actually has been playing really
Texas.
Well. So they're saying that these guys are competing for the backup role. Yeah, this is the backup role. Why? Carson Wentz trending to open the season as the starter.
Well, that's good for him.
How is that happening, right? And you also have Quentin Nelson, who has that foot surgery that he had to have, trending on the same path. So that's great news if you're the Colts.
So it was, what was it,
12 weeks was the original plan.
Which is a big gap.
Yeah. Now you have a whole month here before the season opens, so that does eat up a lot of that time since surgery. So could be ready as soon as week one, which would be tremendous. So you don't have to worry about it.
As long as they're not rushing him back and they're fully healthy,
yeah,
then that's a good thing.
Keyshawn J. Will Zubin brought to you by Barbasol. Barbasol shaving cream available in five fantastic flavors to customize your close shave flavors. Whether it's the classic original or sensitive skin, there's one for every face. Find your favorite Barbasol today. Close shave, America. Close shave Barbasol. So what can the Dallas Cowboys be? Well, Mike McCarthy certainly feels like they've got a chance to do it all, win it all. Let's talk to a former Cowboy. And Daryl Moose Johnson joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline.
Moose,
how are we doing this morning?
I'm good. Good morning, Keyshawn. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. All right, so you've got three rings. You've won championships. You understand when you walk, probably at the beginning of a season, when you look around the room, what you're made of, and like, yeah, we've got a chance to win one. I want you to listen. This is from Hard Knocks, Dallas Cowboys season, last night on HBO. Mike McCarthy addressing his team. Now, Key, when he's listening, had his feet up. He was like, not impressed. I'm ready to run through a brick wall. Moose, tell me how you feel after hearing this.
This is about winning. It's about winning the world championship, period. Period, because that's all matters. Going to playoffs ain't good enough. Having a winning season, not good enough. Getting in a championship game, not good enough. Okay? Because it takes everybody. And you may be tired of hearing this. I've been part of one championship team. I've stood in front of one championship team. It took 77 men to win a world championship. And that's just the way this thing goes. And once you hold that trophy up, I'm going to tell you right now, it's heavier than you think it is.
Man, let's go! Hard Knocks, Jesus. Dallas Cowboys, streaming on HBO Max. Moose, how are you feeling when you hear that speech?
That's like Ted Lasso talking to Jamie Tartt right there. I think all the points are very well made. It really is a complete team effort. You're going to have adversity and injuries during the course of the year. You talked about Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson up in Indianapolis before I came on. You know, those are the things that can happen to you during the course of the season. So it takes everybody. And you know, it has to be frustrating for Coach McCarthy. There was a lot of talented teams up there in Green Bay, and for him to only have one championship with Aaron Rodgers at the helm, you know, has to be frustrating. But again, that shows you how difficult it is. But I do like, you know, getting to the playoffs is not good enough. Winning the NFC East is not good enough. Winning the NFC is not good enough. It's all about winning a Super Bowl. So I really like the messaging. I think it's good. I think it's something that those guys need to hear. But that does not mean that is going to translate into a championship this year.
I'm so glad that you answered that question for Allen, because he thinks that they're going to win a championship based on Coach McCarthy screaming and yelling on the obvious. The obvious that
I don't put words in my mouth. I don't think they're going to win a championship. I just felt like I would have been fired up hearing that speech. I'm ready to go hearing that speech.
You should be ready to go based on the season coming up.
I'm getting lectured, Daryl.
Jeez.
Getting lectured just
Moose,
right now.
How worried are you about Dak's shoulder?
I thought it was interesting that it kind of came out of nowhere, but the time they wanted to sit him down was pretty extensive at the very beginning. I thought it was reassuring that they reached out to the Yankees and I think the White Sox, you know, to get some information, so which makes you think, you know, repetitive motion like a pitcher, mm-hmm. You know, maybe baseball trainers being more familiar with the rehab for something like that, as opposed to football and a quarterback. So Jim Maurer is fantastic. You know, Jim was our trainer with the Cowboys when I was playing, and he's outstanding. So if anybody's alarmed, just know that he's in good hands with the medical staff that they have in Dallas. They're going to do things right. They won't put him out there before he's ready. But I everything that we're hearing down here in Dallas right now, ahead of schedule, looks good when he's throwing the ball on the field. He'll always step away from the team drills and do a little bit of one-on-one. You know, on a different field and make, you know, substantial amounts of throws. So I definitely think he's trending in the right direction and is going to be fine for the start of the season.
Does he need preseason reps after missing all last year's training camp enough?
I think he needs the preseason reps to be in the pocket, a live pocket, with bodies around that leg just to kind of get over that final hurdle. Does he need to do that in preseason? Can he just wait till week one to do it? Yeah, maybe, but I think every time you hear quarterbacks getting back into the mix, and we've got the Vikings at the Bengals week one, and that's one of the things that Joe Burrow is struggling with a little bit right now. And he's admitted it. You know, I'm kind of, you know, subconsciously worried about people around my legs in the pocket. So that would be the one big thing for me. You know, it's a little bit different situation with how the injury happened when you talk about Dak and you talk about Joe Burrow. So, you know, maybe Dak is fine mentally, but that would be my only concern is how does he look in the pocket in a real live 11-on-11 drill? Are his eyes still down the field? Can he feel the rush, or is he looking for the rush?
Darrell Johnson joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. So let's talk about Dak Prescott and this offense for the Cowboys this year. How good can it be with the weapons that they have, the offensive line back healthy, at least for now, we see, and of course him under center?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You know, it all hinges on the offensive line, how healthy they are. You know, Tyron Smith has really struggled to stay healthy during the course of the season. I mean, he's outstanding. You know, Zach Martin, you know, the last couple of years, you know, it's been hard for him. Lyle Collins, you know, younger, you know, got the hip fixed in the offseason. You know, I think that of the three, that would be the one I'd be least worried about. But it all hinges on how healthy those starting five guys are up front. And really, you know, what happens at left guard and center? You know, how do they, you know, resolve that? I think Biadasz is a good player they got from Wisconsin a couple of years ago. So the health of the offensive line dictates how effective they are running the football with Ezekiel and Tony Pollard, how protection holds up for Dak to be able to throw the ball. When you look at the skill positions, you know, you can stack them up against virtually anybody in the NFL. I mean, they're really, really good. But it all hinges on the health of that offensive line, and we saw that last season. You know, when you lose your two starting tackles, and you're even looking down to, you know, number four, number five, you know, guys that you never anticipated taking meaningful snaps during the course of the season are now your starting left and right tackle to start the season. That was going to be a tough road for him. And then as soon as Dak went down, it was just it was a real struggle for him last year.
Durrell Moose Johnston joining us here this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. How improved do you think the Cowboys' defense is right now to be competitive?
You know, Keyshawn, I think that that's where the biggest jump has come from so far. A lot of rumblings here that Dan Quinn has made an immediate connection with the guys. And remember, I mean, the Rod Marinelli system, going from the Rod Marinelli system to the Mike Nolan system, you know, during the course of an offseason that was impacted by the pandemic the way it was, that was going to be challenging if they had a normal offseason. But when we had all the changes last year and there was just not enough time to be around each other in person to really be hands-on, I mean, you're transitioning personnel, you're transitioning technique. There was so much that they were changing that when that pandemic hit, you know, it, in hindsight, it might have been better to do a gradual transition from Rod's system into Mike's system. Now we're going back. You know, Dan Quinn's system is going to be much more similar to what Rod was running than what Mike was putting. And I think it fits the personnel a little bit better. I like what they've done in the secondary. One of the things that everybody's talking about defensively is the amount of depth that they have there. So you'll be able to have a good rotation in your defensive front. You've got some options on the back end in your secondary. And with you know, with Micah Parsons and Jabril Cox coming in, I think that that linebacker level has gotten extremely competitive as well. So they're going to be fast. They're going to play hard. There is talent there. So I think your biggest key to how this season goes, along with the health of the offensive line, is the performance of the defense. And I think a lot of people forget, you know, our first Super Bowl, when we won our first Super Bowl, one of the sides of the ball was ranked number six, and one of the sides of the ball was ranked number one in the NFL. And I think a lot of people would say, well, your offense was number one in the NFL. No, it was our defense. We had the number one defense in the NFL, and that really helped our offense with all our firepower and our star power on that side of the ball.
Yeah, and you talk about your championship teams, and you know, one of the things out of this weekend that we got to enjoy with the Hall of Fame ceremonies was Jimmy Johnson being inducted, and also he – and Jerry Jones sort of having that moment that we've all kind of been waiting for. So I'm curious how you felt about that, to have Jerry say that Jimmy will take his rightful place, Ring of Honor, and be remembered, and the fact that their relationship seems to have mended at least to a point where they can talk nice again, and Jimmy Johnson once again can feel like he's a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah, well, I think if you go back and you look at the guys who are in the Ring of Honor right now, you know, from that era, you know, Troy, Michael, Emmett, Darren, Larry, Charles, you know, a big part of that is the teams that Jimmy Johnson put together. So, you know, he definitely deserves to be in the Ring of Honor, and I think that was where a lot of that came up. You know, should he have been the first one of that group to go into the Ring of Honor? Because it was really, you know, his front office savvy and the building of that team and the coaching of that group of guys that allowed those guys to achieve the success that we did. So, you know, I think that's where it all comes from. And it was really good to see, you know, both Jerry and Jimmy, you know, kind of mend fences again and, you know, have that discussion. I know it means a lot to Jimmy, and you saw how much it meant to him to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, I don't know if he really truly believed he was going to get there. You know, a 5-year stint here, a 5-year stint with the Dolphins, did he do enough as a coach and a front office guy, you know, in the building of those two teams, you know, to earn the right to be in the Hall of Fame? It's such a hard group of guys to become a part of. And I tell you what, from the moment David Baker walked on the set at Fox and you saw the emotion there, when he was presented, and then just since that time, because he didn't get to go in last year, I mean, Jimmy has just been so excited. And we had our seminar for Fox, you know, the weekend before the Hall of Fame inductions. And just to, I mean, he was on cloud nine. I mean, he was so happy. He's in such a good place. And I'm so happy for him, and I'm so proud of him to be in there, because it really is. I mean, that's the ultimate. There's a lot of guys that have Super Bowl rings that you may run into or bump into, but there's not many Hall of Fame guys that have that ring on. So that's a really, really special group of guys to be a part of.
Yeah, and it's, again, for him, obviously, and a cool moment if you're a Cowboys fan or anybody that's just been following the league, to see that relationship between he and Jerry sort of come back together, and maybe it's good karma for the Cowboys going forward. Moose, great to talk to you. Good to catch up. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Moose.
You got it. All right, Keith. Take care.
Uh-huh. All right. Again, Darryl Moose Johnson. He won 3 Super Bowls, 2-time Pro Bowler as well, and as he mentioned, Fox Sports NFL analyst these days. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, former number one pick and an undrafted free agent. They're trying to replace a future Hall of Famer. And an update on one of the most intriguing quarterback battles this season. We'll discuss that.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back. I find a team that we haven't talked about a lot, but is a really compelling story going on with them, and that is New Orleans. That is the Saints.
New Orleans.
Is it a quarterback battle, Key? I don't know if it's a battle, but there's definitely a story going on there with the two quarterbacks as they try to replace Drew Brees. And to talk to us more about that, Dan Graziano joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing today?
For some reason, I feel like you're hot right
now.
I don't know why.
Comfortable.
No, I'm good. There's a truck going by, so you're hearing that. But no, it's only 8:30 here, so it's only about 750 degrees with 400% humidity. So
yeah,
we're heading toward bigger numbers.
Tell me, Dan, about this so-called quarterback battle between Taysom Hill and Jameis.
Yeah,
is there a quarterback battle? Or is there a quarterback decision to be made?
I think the Saints want it very clear that it's a competition, right? They do not they do not want Taysom Hill to get the impression that he's not a realistic option for them, because they want to give him that chance. They feel like he's earned it. Same thing with Jameis Winston after the year he put in here last year as the backup or the third stringer, as it turned out. So they're splitting the reps evenly. They're telling it, like I just said on Get Up, that when I put in the requests to talk to people at all these camps I visit, the Saints told me if I request one of those guys, that they're also going to bring me the other one. Like, that's their rule. So everything appearance-wise is set up as if it's a true competition, and I don't see any reason to doubt that it is. Look, when Drew Brees got hurt last year, Sean Payton put Taysom Hill in as the starting quarterback. He's clearly not afraid to do that. Now, all of that said, I think it's fair to acknowledge that Jameis Winston offers more in terms of throwing the ball and the ability to do things downfield if he has ironed out the turnover issues that dogged him throughout the early part of his career. That's the big question. I'm not sure that the Saints are going to be able to answer that, even if they make him the starter, until they've played a few regular season games.
I found it interesting that Jameis Winston, a couple of clips, as you mentioned, you know, him meeting with the media, and we're not doing Zoom anymore, which I'm sure for you is probably great. But the fact that
it is,
when he talks and meets with the media, people have taken note to how he just sounds different. And he said he's trying to be more like a CEO, that this is who he is now. He's grown up, he's matured, and he feels like that's how he wants to present himself. Is it that obvious? Like, is there a big change in him that you're seeing from the little bit that you've been down there?
No, but I always liked talking to Jameis Winston. Like, when I would talk to him when he was at Tampa Bay, I always got the impression that this was a strong leader type who was serious about his business. I don't know what the narrative is about he sounds different, because in the press conference, he sounds to me like my past experiences have been. Now, maybe his reputation was otherwise, but I don't believe that there were teammates in Tampa Bay that had a low opinion of him or didn't think he was a good leader. I think, you know, the reason he is not in Tampa Bay anymore, two reasons. One, too many turnovers. Two, Tom Brady wanted to go there. So I don't think it's that. I think you're seeing a guy that spent last year out of the spotlight. The first time he's been out of the spotlight since he was in high school, right? I mean, since he was a freshman at Florida State, he has been a big star with a lot of attention on him. So it may be that you're seeing a more relaxed guy as a result of that, that year has had an effect on him that's coming through. But personally, I always thought he was somebody that was enjoyable to talk to and insightful.
Dan, this is when the show turns a little bit, right? This is when you and I, we get real comfortable with each other at the bar, and we chilling and having real conversation that no one else should know anything about. So what's the problem with my nephew down in Michael Thomas down in New Orleans?
Maybe you should tell me. I don't know. You might be a better source on that than anybody.
I don't know anything. Don't know anything.
All right. So, yeah, maybe send him a text or something and see and let us know. But look, I did some poking around on this the last couple of days because I knew I was going to be here. And the sense I get is not to read a whole lot into that tweet, that it's not necessarily like a situation that's going to blow up. I think there's some dispute, obviously. The Saints are on record saying they wish he'd got the surgery sooner. Was that what the tweet was in reference to? Possible, but I don't think we know that for sure. He's not unhappy with his contract. Contract's still strong. He's in the early portion of it. It's a very good deal that he got a couple years back. It's not like there's like this long list of Aaron Rodgers-style grievances that he's gonna have a press conference and air them all out and talk about everybody that he wishes were still here. I don't think we should jump to the conclusion that this is an unfixable situation or that his relationship with the Saints is permanently broken. I don't think we should expect him to be traded. Honestly, how are you going to trade a guy when he's hurt anyway? So I think this is probably one, if I had to handicap it, that simmers down a little bit given enough time.
Yeah, I just wonder if they just look at family history and feel like, you know, do we want to go down that road? We've seen in the past people related to him.
Stop.
To deal with. So, you know, we shall see. I mean, you know, you're not seeing, though, like a potential of, you know, moving on, trading him, any of that stuff you're saying. You think it's just all going to get calmed down eventually?
Yeah. I mean, don't rule anything out, obviously, but again, the questions I've been asking of people around the situation is, how serious is this? Does he want out? Has he asked out? And the answers are coming back, like, just let it play out a little bit. Don't jump to any big conclusions.
What I can say, though, Dan, is for those people that don't know him, he's a no-nonsense serious guy. He doesn't want to play games. you know,
yeah.
Keep it straight.
Yeah.
Don't play games. Too many times organizations and coaches play games with players. And so you see where players are like, hold on, man, you're not going to put a muzzle on me or set a narrative about who I am as a player and as an individual in my community. So I kind of can read between the lines without even having a conversation with them.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. I mean, look, they're going to have time to smooth it over again. He's injured, right? Like, they're not going to trade him at this point. There's certainly time for the relationship, if there are issues, to get ironed out, for them to iron out. And you're right, no nonsense. I mean, he can go into Sean Payton's office and say, what's the problem? Can we work this out? And it's entirely possible that that will or even has happened.
Right, he's got to get healthy, of course, first. C.J. Henderson seems to be available. Are the Saints in on that?
Yeah. I mean, they'd be nuts not to be, right? Because Sean Payton has made it clear on the record multiple times, cornerback is a position that they need help. They've already signed three cornerbacks since camp opened, three veteran cornerbacks. So they just had another one retire yesterday. So if he's available and the price is right, I would think that you can count the Saints as one of the more interested suitors. Again, we'll see where that all goes. A lot of teams need cornerbacks, and he's obviously a guy who's very talented and very young. What the price will be for Jacksonville? Are they just trying to get it out there, see what they can get for him? You know, we'll see. But yes, if there's an available cornerback that the Saints think can help them, I would believe that they are definitely at least finding out what the cost is.
Dan Graziano will pay anything for air conditioning right now. Dan, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for the time.
All good.
All right. Thanks. Dan Graziano on the Goodyear Hotline live from Saints camp. All right, coming up. That time of the show. Call the roulette, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your hot takes, your questions, your topics, everything. And, of course, a couple of things we might see in the complaint department.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Do we have anything in the complaint department today, Keyshawn?
I'm sure you do. You always got somebody complaining about something that they don't like.
At Cool Breeze wants to know.
What?
You will know it when you see it, something you said earlier in the show.
About what?
And he said, what does that even mean?
You'll know it when you see it.
You'll know it when you
you'll
see it.
You'll know if a guy is good once you see it. Once you pay attention to him and look at him and touch him and really analyze him and break him down, you'll know if he can play.
Okay.
Just like
you see it. I know what you mean. He needed you to explain that a little deeper. I know what you mean. You know when you see it. You look and you're like I've ever since you said that the first time, I have actually followed that more than ever, which is the he just looks right. Like, that's the best way to say it. You look at something, he just looks right.
Because some dudes don't look right, and they're probably not right. You know? It's like, eh.
Yeah.
But there is such a thing where guy looks really get-off-the-bus type and couldn't play dead in a cowboy movie.
Yeah, really good in the airport.
Yeah, really good.
Not good in the arena.
Like standing next to him getting off the bus.
Yeah.
But wouldn't want him standing next to me in the huddle.
Ashley Schaefer said, I had the worst Jets take, talking to me, I had the worst Jets take ever heard in a long time on radio right now. Did you really expect Zach Wilson to be a Pro Bowler, on his first 11-on-11. Jeez, man.
Well, that's the New
York. Was that a bad take by me? I'm concerned.
Yeah, you shouldn't be concerned about a dude that's just left the prom a week ago. Like, come
looks
on, man.
Like
seriously,
it.
Like.
But you took him number two.
Doesn't matter.
He's got to be good.
He's good. They got to develop him.
All right. Quickly, before we get to calls also, you are big on numbers, right? Jersey numbers?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, that. Does that fit?
Yeah.
So Lionel Messi, as of course you know because you follow soccer so closely.
Yeah.
All right, Barcelona let his contract run out.
He just re-signed for 2 years.
Paris Saint-Germain, right?
Yeah,
he's there now. They're going to have a super team there. Neymar, okay. The whole thing. That's a super team. But Neymar had 10. He offered it to him. 10 is like the star, right? 10 is the star player on the team. And Neymar offered it to him, and that's Messi's number in Barcelona. And he said, no, I'm good. He's wearing 30, which is like a goalie number.
Oh, is it?
30 was his number when he first came up with Barcelona as a teenager. Looks gross.
He was 13, actually, when he went there from Argentina.
And it looks gross.
But it's a weird – do we have a photo of it?
It seemed like all soccer numbers would be small.
Single digits
small. Small numbers. But 30, can't be a 30.
What are you, Steph Curry?
That doesn't even look right on Steph.
Right? No. So I think we'd try to get Key to see – you see the jersey right there?
Yeah, no, I get it.
It looks like a goalie. What are you, Henrik Lundqvist? Like, what is that number?
Although if Messi stood next to me at Starbucks right now, I probably wouldn't even know who he is.
You'd know him.
I know who he is, but you know what I'm saying. He blends in so well.
Security detail around him is like he's a president.
But he can blend in.
When he went to Paris, it looked as if Biden had gone to Paris. All the stretch limousine, all the security is incredible. Yeah, these guys, by the way, what the money you see NBA players make – These guys, you would blush at that. Like, you'd be like, wait a minute.
Same, right?
A joke.
Making 40 and 50?
No.
Higher, Bob.
No, I'm talking about on the field, not off the field. I'm just talking about on the field.
Everything, though, combined?
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about combined. I'm just talking about for their play. About comparable, right?
No. Still higher.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was in the 40s and the 50s.
Yeah, wait, nobody in the NBA is making 50.
Man, Steph Curry is at 50.
Not yet.
A 48 or whatever you want to call it.
Not yet.
His average is at 50.
Okay. Well, bottom line is that number 30 jersey that we think looks weird probably will sell
millions of copies and whatever.
Yet. All right, let's get to Call the Roulette. 888-8-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Spin it. Line 3.
Hey, this is Cody here from Richmond, Virginia. Love you guys. Love the show. Keyshawn, loved watching you tear up the field when you played back in the day. I just had a question in regards to the Packers. I was wondering if all things go well in the fantasy world and Gutekunst decided that he wanted to give Aaron Rodgers all the decision-making power that he desires, do you think there's any chance that he sticks around in Green Bay after this season?
Well, what's the point of having a general manager if you're going to give him all the power? That is pointless.
I think what he's saying is that Aaron Rodgers wants to have a say, and clearly they're already catering to it, Randall Cobb being there. So what he's saying is that if Gutekunst is good with it, like, we'll talk to you about things we want to do with the team, and he's happy about it. Is that enough to keep him to stay in Green Bay? Why wouldn't
it be? I think it would be, especially if they win a championship. If they win a world championship, yeah.
Well, if they win a Super Bowl this year, sure. But what if they're just, again, you know, they get to a conference championship game or something like that, but they have made it now where you want is what you'll get. You don't think it's enough?
If they win a championship, I think it'll be enough. If they don't win a championship and they get beat in the playoffs or something like that, people will start to see you would disrupt. They'll start saying, it's you disrupted Aaron Rodgers. See, if you'd have just did right, we wouldn't be in this position. It just becomes a mess.
Okay. Spin it. Line 5.
Or not.
Oh, man.
Spin it again.
Yeah. Line 5's out. Spin. Line 2.
Yeah, Pablo from Pennsylvania. Just want to say I love the show. Keyshawn, love you, man. I always loved watching you, man. I'm still looking for number 44. If I catch you, I'm going to tell him about that day. Hey, what is it going to take to get Damian Lillard in the Sixers uniform?
Well, it'll take Ben Simmons to begin with, but that's already been in the conversation, and that hasn't happened yet. It's amazing that Simmons just remains out there. He's not talking to the team. There's no connection right now happening between him and the Sixers. That is something to really watch. But as the offseason for the NBA starts to quiet down, that's going to be a huge story before training camps begin in a couple of months. But what is this about 44? What was he talking about?
I think he's referring to Corwin Brown, ex-teammate of mine at the Jets, played for Detroit. And he knocked the snot out of me going across the middle when I was in Tampa. I think that's what he was referring to, because that's the only 44 that I could think of in sports that hit me.
Is that what you're talking about? He's
yes,
laughing.
Sir.
That's the one you're talking about?
For that dude, man.
I've been,
yes,
hey.
Yes, sir.
Hey. I kept playing, though, man. It looked ugly on TV, but I kept playing.
I need to see this. It was a very
vicious hit, but only I would be able to get up from that. You wouldn't be able to get up from that.
I need to. You lost something on that play.
I lost a lot.
You lost something. You know what? I'll tell you though, in all respect.
But I still
the
look
headline
good.
On YouTube is Keyshawn Johnson gets destroyed.
Yeah, I did get destroyed. but I'm 100 with it. I ain't got no problem with it. I kept playing.
Did you find your helmet, or did someone have to pick it up for
you? No, I found my helmet. I checked my earring at the time.
Your earring?
Yeah, I made sure I still had
the
that.
The earring was still in your ear?
Yeah, I was good.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be wearing the earring. You gave him a target. You gave him something to hit at.
When we're off air, what I said on the shiny thing.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.